Today we sit down with the lovely Parkington sisters from Wellfleet. They were raised in a wildly musical household, but it wasn't until 2005 that they began performing together on the streets of Provincetown. They have their first full-length CD coming out very soon, and joining us in our Woods Hole studio are Ariel, Sarah, Nora, and Lydia. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
The fifth sister, Rose, is out of the country at the moment. Now, I want to, this is amazing. You guys play all these different instruments. You have a very musical family. Let's start with that. You have some pretty talented parents.
Well, our mom is like a pretty nasty guitarist, as well as my dad. And my mom's a wonderful singer, songwriter as well. And my father's plays a whole lot of instruments. Right now he's tackling the tablas.
Wow.
He's just sitting in his house, like, showing me, like, tickety-tackety. So
did they say, you are playing an instrument? Were you forced into that, or is that something you wanted to do?
I think it was just natural.
Just natural.
Yeah, we just chose. I remember choosing violin because my dad played all the time. Mm-hmm. But I actually started, you know, when I was five, I played for a little bit, and I quit for a while. So it was definitely, like, kind of an open environment that you mm-hmm. chose what you wanted to do.
You could choose, but practice time was pretty regimented.
That's where that came in. So what was it like growing up in this musical household where you all played different instruments, and I'm sure you all had different tastes, even your parents, as far as what you listened to? I know your mom's really into folk music, and mm-hmm. your dad likes a lot of different other types of music. So what was that like? Did it influence what you do now in any way?
I think so. We definitely had a few road trips that we'd all listen to Beatles song the whole way, and that's kind of what I remember. And we had a lot of classical records that we listened to a lot, you know, like Hallelujah. And
yeah, I think because our parents have that wide range of interests, I'd say that we're all very open, mm-hmm. you know, with our experience and interests and what our tastes are, even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember being little and listening to Weather Report.
Stockhausen.
Yeah, Stockhausen.
You know, and like Joni Mitchell and then Otis Redding. So it's a very cool balance.
And I was shocked to learn, I thought it was just you five girls. You actually have two brothers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And the age range from, and we won't say who's the youngest and who's the oldest, but the oldest sister is 30, the youngest sister is 18. Mm-hmm. So you guys have kind of grown up in sort of different generations. You didn't all go to school at the same time. You live in different places. And that's one of the things I'm wondering. Two of you are professional violinists who perform with symphonies, chamber groups, and other bands. That's Sarah and Ariel. And the other of you have, you know, the different venues that you perform in. How do you find the time to get together to not only put this CD together, but to perform? Is it just sort of a few months out of the year? How does that work?
It's really whenever we can. You know, we do the best we can to make time in the schedule and get together on weekends and, you know, really try to schedule ahead as much as we can.
When I was at school, it was just like I went to school, but every weekend we'd be in like North Carolina or New York, and we started recording. But I think in the future, there's going to be a lot more time together spent on music.
Yeah, because you guys are kind of coming into your own at this point, aren't you? You were proclaimed the best under-the-radar group by American Songwriter magazine, which you think was okay at the time, but that's about to change.
Yeah, I mean, that was a year ago, too, so it's
hope
kind of...
So.
Yeah, we hope it changes.
You don't want to be under the radar anymore.
No.
It's a nice spot, but...
Yeah. And you are all songwriters, mm-hmm. and your new CD, are they all songs written by the five of you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
How exciting. All right, let's talk about the title song, Eagle and the Wolf. Tell us, who wrote that song?
Rosie.
Rose wrote that one. That's the title song, of our EP. I know she wrote it about a dream, and I'm sure we could all say what that dream was because she says it all the time. But it's just a very a dream full of tons of imagery, and as you can imagine, eagle and a wolf. Anyone want to add to that story?
Well, on the EP, we recorded the string sections of the Wellfleet Congregational Church, so it definitely had this beautiful, eerie, beautiful sound to the end of it, and I really love that about the EP, that special sound.
Yeah, I think it kind of shaped the sound of the album in a little mm-hmm. kind of in a way, too. Mm-hmm. Definitely did.
Let's take a listen.
You are the king of your own lonely castle. Way up there in your tall tower. Tambourine on the ground. dreamt that the eagle ate the wolf. Fell to the ground with his tongue hanging out, but I stayed by his side.
I'm sure there are folks who say, how do you describe your sound? I mean, we've had other people who have said what they think your sound is. How do you guys describe your sound? Sarah, you're doing all the talking.
Does Ariel, do you want to take that one?
Sound, it's pretty much, you know, essentially the core is like a string quartet with the guitar or a piano quintet. So that's the bass, and then each of us share the vocal lead. So there are different, you know, singers for each song, and then along with that is five-part harmonies in a lot of the material.
Which is beautiful. The five-part harmonies is just lovely. And so I'm wondering, here you are, five sisters, and, you know, I have a sister, and I know what that sibling rivalry can be like. You don't always agree. So now you're sharing the vocals. Do you ever get into the discussions? No, I want to do that song. I mean, how do you decide that?
Oh, my gosh. So
fun. I hit on a nerve, didn't I?
Yeah.
Whoever wrote the song, you know, sings the song. That's usually, I don't think we've had one that isn't been like that. I mean, that might change, but that's just how it is.
Yeah.
But who made the joke that we used to fight over clothes and now we fight over harmonies?
Yeah. That's like, a good one. I had the hard part.
Yeah.
Or, you know. But you're on my note. Get off it.
I have so well with clothes, but I don't steal any harmonies.
And what about the songwriting? Since you all write songs, do you try to make it an even mix of whose songs get into the album? Or is it just sort of you vote on, well, we like this song better than that song? How does that work?
Some of us, you know, are a little more prolific in certain points in time. So, you know, it sort of varies depending on what time frame we're recording or working on. And then in terms of choosing songs for an album, it sort of follows what the album has come to be. Because there was, even in our latest CD coming out, there was a song that we chose not to have on it, even though it was a great song, just because it didn't fill the collective view, you know, of the album. So, it sort of changes.
You're going to play something live for us in a little bit, but I want to talk about another song that's on your new CD, Geese. Tell us about that song. Who wrote that?
Oh, I wrote that one.
All right, Sarah, tell us about it.
Sure. I don't know. I guess it's kind of an example about how we collaborate as a group. I was sitting in my apartment living in the East Village in New York, and I have this like super old place. It's never been renovated, but it just has just really nice ambience to it, and I just wrote that song and I brought it to the girls, and I just, when you hear it, you'll hear it's just all five-part harmony throughout the song, and then we wrote an instrumental part together separately. So I wrote the skeleton of the song, brought it to the girls, and you know, we brought in the harmonies and had help with the arrangement.
Usually how it happens, I mean, in terms of songwriting. It's just funny because you're leaving out the part where we're totally showing, this is like before the album, and we're demoing some of the newer songs for our producer the next day, or is it that night?
Yeah.
But we just like sat outside on the lawn and totally like created the song. But Joe loved it, so that was cool.
Under pressure.
Yeah. Right. And it's the first song on the album.
So let's take a listen to that.
Wild geese are flying north today. Will they know where to go to? Will they know where to go? Thank you.
got some exciting performances coming up through the summer. You're going to be at the Wellfleet Congregational Church on July 24th, which is home. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of fun. Mm-hmm. That's obviously an audience that's familiar with you. And then you're going to do Pops in the Park August. Very exciting.
We're excited. August 28th. Yeah.
Any other big plans for the summer here on the Cape? You have other?
On the Cape, I think we just are really playing a couple shows. Mm-hmm. I think it's August 25th at the tent at Pamet Tent in Truro. And other than that, we're on the road. We're going to New York, and we're going to Memphis, Nashville. You know, getting
Chicago.
Around
Chicago,
that's good.
Atlanta.
Now the whole group here. It started out, Sarah, with you and Rose singing together, right? And you'd be out there doing your thing. And so, how did the other girls get? How did that happen that all you girls got together?
I think because Rose and I had such a great time. I mean, we started playing in the streets of Provincetown, which is just a wild place, And, you know, I'm sure if you've been there, it's just awesome. Yeah. And we just had a great time. And I think we wanted to share it with all the sisters. And, you know, it just happened.
Yeah. So were the rest of you watching this going, hey, this looks like too much fun. I want to get in on this? Or how did that?
We were working. I remember that summer. I remember coming home, actually, from cleaning houses. And I heard them because I think they kind of decided they were going to make extra money. You know, so the rest of us were kind of had our summer jobs. But I remember one day coming home from cleaning and hearing them practicing in Sarah's room, like as I was walking to the house. And I was like, what is this music coming? I had no idea it was them. When they first started, we're playing like La Bamba and
horrible songs. We didn't know how to play.
Horrible.
Well, I just mean classic. It's just
fun songs.
Rose was learning how to play guitar, so she didn't really know how to play yet. She was kind of a work in progress.
It's funny.
It was a while ago. Yeah, so I came home and heard the song and like instantly got out my violin to play with them, and that at least got me into it.
And so the rest is history from there. Now, with the CD coming out, and I know this is, you know, this sort of the beginning in a sense of your career, but what happens on the radio stations? It's, you know, there's this sort of, you're pigeonholed, you're pop, you're this, and when you have an eclectic sound, it's tough to get airplay. Is that something you've been a bit concerned about? I mean, there are radio stations that do that, but the mainstream, is that where you want to be, or you is that not what it's about for you?
It's not what it's about. I think we're just trying to have our own voice and not really look at any direction except, you know, where we're going with it.
Yeah.
You know?
We've been lucky up till now because, you know, a lot of the folk, you know, radio stations across the country have been really supportive and played us, even though, you know, we're kind of been working our name up. In terms of going mainstream, and we'll just see what happens. Mm-hmm. I have hope that music is music, and maybe we can get past that. Yeah. But
we're talking with the Parkington Sisters, a musical group from Wellfleet. I want to read something that Kathleen Schmidt in Barnstable Patriot wrote about you guys. She said, that is what I love best about the music of these five sisters from Wellfleet. No matter what the song, the finely woven tapestries of acoustic instruments and soulful voices simply spirit listeners away to another place, another time, another realm. What a lovely thing to say about your music. And it seems that I've been hearing, now I have to say, you've only recently come on my radar screen, and you know, you really are kind of gaining an audience. So what's it been like when you're on the Cape? I understand people know who you are, they know your parents. When you go off Cape and you're playing elsewhere, whether it's in the country or another country, what's the reaction?
I think people sometimes are surprised because we're five sisters and we get along, you know, somewhat.
As best sisters can. Right?
Yeah, and that we, you know, really play our instruments as well. So we can, and I think it's different.
I've been really touched by the audience's responses because, you know, when you go off, especially, you know, first leaving the Cape, you don't know at all. Like, you know, maybe people on the Cape just like us because we grew up there and they know us. But some of the shows that we've played, I remember just in the beginning too, you know, not really being known, but having a sold out crowd and just being like, such a wonderful response. It's been really amazing,
like,
actually.
People coming up to you and just saying that song helped them in some point in their life so much. Like grown men coming up, like crying, you know, being like, that just touched me so much. That's such a good feeling. And like down south, we had that happen, and that was a really cool experience.
So, it's great when
just
you have people
anyone.
Respond to your music.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of sometimes when you go to a new place, you don't know what you're going to have. So there's a little bit of that too.
A little
sometimes.
Bit of butterflies before you go
you're
on.
Right.
So who wrote The Orchard?
Rosie.
Rosie wrote The Orchard. Yeah. That's another song that we're going to hear a little bit about. Tell us about The Orchard.
started out as a guitar song. You know, we had a lot of discussion about the arrangement of it in the weeks before, you know, deciding what was making it into the album. But it's now it's just piano and strings.
It's beautiful.
It's really, it was written, I think, when she was in an orchard, wasn't she, down south for a summer in Virginia. She,
We'll take a listen to that.
Looming fate, dancing at the city gates. Old ways, lying on interstate. Through half deserted streets and muttering retreats, his death repeats, his death repeats. So I don't know if I'll be coming home soon. What if I do? Don't you tell her. I don't know if I'll be coming home soon. But if I do, don't you tell her.
I read somewhere that you're inspired by the ocean. Is that true for all of you? Is that, I mean, how does that work into your music?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we grew up surrounded by it. We live on a small peninsula. But, I think we say that because a lot of the themes in our songs can, like, have qualities of water and just, like, ideas we've been playing with that kind of come back to that idea of, like, maybe eternal is too strong a word, but you know what I mean? I don't know. Does someone else want to answer this?
No one
else does.
No. I think it's definitely inspiration, and then we have a lot of water themes in our song. Mm-hmm. I think that's...
Yeah, and just the strings, you know, right. I think add that kind of fluidity.
Fluidity, yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. All right, so what's your goal? Where do you see yourselves, like, 5-10 years down the road? I mean, you know, right now you're doing It's All About the Music, but where are you headed with this, or where would you like to be headed?
Well, we have a 5-year contract of, what was it?
We're not allowed to get married or have babies. Children for 5 years. We're on year 4 right now, so we've got 4 years left, so we can do a lot in 4 years.
We're teasing, but no, it's really...
No, your contract really does not say
No,
we're teasing. I just, just keep doing what we're doing and, you know, staying true to the music.
Yeah. Have traveled the world together.
Yeah. Do you have a goal, you know, as a place you want to play, or somebody you want to play with, like somebody that you want to open up for, or you would like to have open up for you?
I think we all kind of have, like, different images in that. I can see everyone has, like, a little bubble come up of, like, a different vision.
I don't know. I just think it just to play. I don't know, because sometimes it's even just wonderful to play just for a few people, you mm-hmm. know, and
street playing.
Yeah, you know.
So do you still do the street playing or no?
Sometimes.
Oh
yeah,
man,
not.
Me and Sarah, I tried to drag her out. I was like, "Come on, Sarah!" It, like, took half an hour to get out of the house for some reason. We finally got there. We sit down. And she's like, "I was like, what?" I was like, so nervous. I thought like her bow snapped. I looked in her case, and she brought her electric violin, and we didn't have like an amp or anything. So she's like, "Maybe people can hear it," but you like can't hear an electric violin if you're more than 2 feet.
There's
so
like
we just
a
totally improvised
with like playing an electric violin because it's like playing a silent violin.
Yeah.
So the answer is yes. Recently, you have tried to play the string.
Yeah.
Well, now you're gonna perform a song for us live, America. Tell us about that song.
I wrote that song last summer, actually, just kind of just a really simple. It was just when I was starting to get interested in like different like more folk, Delta blues, like honky tonk, that kind of area of music. And it's just I wrote it for my friends and family because it was just like a hard time. But it's totally like kind of a sarcastic song, almost like really dark, but it sounds really happy. Just like a lot of those country songs, you know, where they're just like, "My daughter's drowning in the well," but it's like really happy sounding.
Yeah. Are you kidding? So you have to listen to the words.
Yeah, maybe you don't want it. No, okay. I'm just kidding.
So, all right, Lydia, you wrote this one, and we're gonna take a listen to that.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, go.
We're going to close out the show with Sailor Song. Who wrote Sailor Song? Lydia, that's you. Okay, tell us about Sailor Song.
I wrote it about a year or two ago, and it's just kind of sounds like a traditional sea shanty, but kind of twisted in terms of what was going on in my life then. It's a story.
I want to thank you all for being with us today. Ariel, Sarah, Nora, Lydia. Sorry Rose missed out on the fun. But thank you so much, and I wish you all the best of luck with your career.
Thanks so much, Mindy.
The Parkington Sisters. Their yet-to-be-released CD is Eagle and Wolf. More on the group at parkingtonsisters.com. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
I was just a boy when I first dipped off the land. The vessel shivered loosely when the sailors
just took my hand to also I cried, my darling, I'll be back again someday. But the restless water stole my words away. 18 years aboard, it's been 18 years aboard. Lord to my captain, but I can barely wait no more. And all the boys are singing songs about the day we'll reach the shore. But I'm sailing through the dark forevermore. Sailors share their stories and their dirty secrets too. They gave me a new name in their old skeleton crew. I became bad den under a pint of ocean spray. My eyes and mouth ridden with decay. 18 years aboard, it's been 18 years aboard. Loyal to my whiskey till I can't see straight no more. And all the boys are singing songs about the day we'll reach the shore. But I'm sailing through the dark forevermore. Sprung a leak. The captain stood and smiled with the water to his knees. And the sailors cried, oh Lord, please don't take my life away. But the turning gale led the prayers astray. 18 years aboard, we've been 18 years aboard. Loyal to the sea, cause there ain't no Lord. Tell those who to look on past the darkness of the shore where I'm sailing.